Joining us on the Arkansas Mailing Services Hotline is Jim Ellis, voice of the Mississippi State Bulldogs from Omaha, Nebraska. And Jim, wow, what a season it's been for the Bulldogs so far.
Yeah, it really has been, particularly down the stretch of the season. Ball club that, lost their first three series in the SEC and then began to sort of put it together and had a nice second half of the year and have had a really good postseason. And I think that's, I've been around a lot of ball clubs. That seems to be a key. I've seen a lot of teams that get hot at the right time. And if you get hot at the end of the season, do things well at the end of the season, usually have some success.
And I think Arkansas fans can kind of see that in what happened with Arkansas last year. They got in to the NCAA tournament, were able to get to Omaha. Mississippi State pretty much the same way. Success in the SEC, they finished fifth in the league, but third in the West. The West was definitely the tougher side of the league this year. But, Jim, when you look at the bullpen, I think that's where it is with this Mississippi State baseball team.
Yeah, the strength of the ball club has been the bullpen. The guy on the backside, Jonathan Holder's had a great year. 20 saves on the season. Don't know where you'd be without him. And then the guy who has really stepped up in the postseason is a left-hander named Chad Girado, who's a senior who's been here for 3 years and had been a guy that you talked about potential for 3 years of what might happen with him. And suddenly he figures it all out in his senior year. But in the postseason, he won the out of the bullpen. He won this championship ball game against Central Arkansas in the regional. He won the second game of the super regional out of the bullpen. And he came out of the bullpen and had a great effort against Indiana on Monday and got the win in that ball game. So he just been phenomenal in the postseason. He's pitched 17 and two-thirds innings in the NC2A postseason with 32 strikeouts and 3 wins. And, you got to have somebody that steps forward. I've always said you got to have somebody that maybe you're not expecting to step forward if you play well, all the way to the College World Series. He's been the guy for Mississippi State this year.
Can you talk a little bit offensively for the Bulldogs, being able to get those timely hits at the right time? I look back to Monday's game against Indiana. That eighth inning is where Mississippi State got the game won.
Yeah, they've won both the ball game against Oregon State and Indiana in the top of the eighth inning. One guy who's had big hits in both of those innings is Wes Ray, a sophomore first baseman who has really been clutch for us here in the down the last month of the season. He had a big double in one of those ball games. He had a big base hit in the other ball game. A great at-bat for Marcus Henderson, who is our left fielder, who drove in the tying run in the game against Indiana with a base hit to right field on a 7-pitch at-bat where he got behind on the count and fouled a couple of tough pitches off and then got the base hit. But situational hitting and the bullpen, those two things over the last month, the last week of the season, a really good weekend against South Carolina in situational hitting. And then I thought all of the postseason, including the SEC tournament for the most part, this has been a team that's done a good job of using different players. It hasn't been just one guy, but different guys that have come through in key situations where you got to get a base hit to win a ball game, and they've been able to do that so far.
Jim, talk about how Coach Cohen has managed the team during this run to Omaha and now in Omaha with the days off. Mississippi State doesn't play until tomorrow. Their last game was on Monday.
Yeah, I'm out here with the ball club right now. They practice every day. They go through a pretty tough practice every day. They do take some time. They went to the zoo yesterday afternoon as a team function, spent a couple of hours there. But they've done a good job of giving the guys a routine. They have a mandatory breakfast that they have to eat at a certain time of the day. They make sure that they do lifting. They'll go lift after practice today. But they keep them busy. They keep these kids busy. They've been that way all year long. They feel like that there needs to be some structure to road trips. And they give them enough free time, but they keep them with enough structure that they keep their minds on baseball. So the 3 days is lengthy. But I think they've managed it pretty well so far, and they do a lot of preparation with scouting reports and meetings on with pitchers and catchers and meetings with hitters and going over video, a lot of video. I'm sure most teams do it, but they do a lot of video work where they have a video of the opposing pitchers, they have a video of the opposing hitters, and sit down and do classroom work to make sure that everybody's on page as to what they can expect in the ballgame.
Jim, I think some people who have been watching have seen Hunter Renfrow and have followed college baseball here in the state of Arkansas, know who Hunter Renfrow is. For those who haven't, describe him if you can.
Well, he's a guy who when he came to school here 3 years ago, was just a tremendous athlete. He could run. He was a big guy. In fact, we thought he might be the closer for the ball club. We pitched him a little bit as a freshman. He could touch 97, 98 on the gun. Just a lot of velocity. He has a great arm. But he found his place. He didn't play an awful lot his freshman year. In fact, he got a start, I think, at Arkansas. But he had very few starts as a freshman, brought him off the bench some, mainly as an outfielder and as a pinch hitter. Last year, as a sophomore, he had an okay season. It wasn't a tremendous season. You could see the potential. But he was a guy who hadn't quite figured it all out at the plate. But he went off to summer ball and had a great season in summer ball last year. In fact, they retired his jersey up at Bethesda, Maryland in the Cal Ripken League because he set all-time home run and RBI record in that league and had such a great summer. And he came back, and he was a different guy in the fall. Not only did he have all those tools of being able to hit, run, and throw, but he had sort of figured it out at the plate. He has certainly made a huge step forward. Had a tremendous year, and he's done it with teams really pitching around him. He's been in walked intentionally a lot, but a lot of times they just don't throw anything in the strike zone, and he has had the presence this year to take those pitches, not chase bad pitches as he did maybe his sophomore year, and obviously the 13th pick in the draft and a first-round draft pick to the Padres. He's been rewarded for what's been a very, very good baseball season.
Jim, I know this is not your first time going to Omaha. You were there with the Bulldogs back the last time they went in 07. Talk about the difference in your eyes, Rosenblatt to TD Ameritrade Park.
Well, I sort of grew up with Rosenblatt. In fact, this is my eighth trip to Omaha, and my first seven were with the ball club to Rosenblatt. And the first time I went to Rosenblatt was in 1979, and it seated about 9,000, and you had to climb a ladder to get to the walkway, which was flyboards across the roof to get to the press box that you got to up high atop Rosenblatt back then. And I watched it grow over the years to where it was when they finally decided to make the change. But I loved old Rosenblatt Stadium. There's a lot there that made you – it was, to me, it was the Wrigley Field or the Fenway Park of college baseball. But, you know, I love the new park. It's a gorgeous ballpark. It's got all the amenities that you want. I think people will always feel, you know, those people who've been to Rosenblatt and particularly been there a number of times will always have a soft place in their heart for that stadium and the memories from that stadium. But I think Ameritrade Park is going to be a great home for college baseball. The crowds this year have been unbelievable. I went to the game last night and watched it from pitch to pitch with Oregon State and Indiana. They had a crowd of over 26,000 and a great atmosphere in and around the stadium. So, you know, Rosenblatt, always a soft place. Ameritrade, I think 10 years from now, there'll be a lot less talk about Rosenblatt and a lot of talk about what a great facility and what a great venue this is for college baseball.
Have you been able to get you a Zestos yet?
No, I hadn't done that. But the NC2A in conjunction with the city of Omaha have done a great job of making you feel, and you know, I've been to a lot of events in college sports, as I'm sure you have been, but this feels like a big time event. They've made this feel, and it's always been that way, but I think that there's more of the things that you see at, say, like a Final Four or a big college bowl game. You see all of that at the College World Series now. It's a great experience for fans, but it's a great experience for these ball clubs. They know it's a special, special time.
No, I totally agree with you. I told someone the other day, that is a bucket list must to go to the College World Series. It needs to be on a sports fan's bucket list. Real quick before we let you go, I know you're very busy today. Mississippi State, the last SEC team standing in Omaha, can they get it done?
Well, they can get it done. Now, I'm not predicting they will get it done. I think they can get it done. I think they can if things fall right. I think Oregon State is a tough, tough match, and you've got to beat Oregon State, and they've got a The right-hander we saw, a kid named Andrew Moore, who's a freshman pitcher with 14 wins, was very solid. I understand they have a kid named Engelbrecht, who was the closer late in the year. He had a back muscle pull, has not pitched as of yet in the College World Series, but I understand they think they're going to get him back. And he's a left-handed closer that they have that probably will be available. I really like their lineup. I think in the middle of their lineup, they're really good. They're good at the top of the order. They have a nice mix. And they're just a good, solid baseball team. So I think they're a chore, but I think it's possible. And then, you know, whoever you match up on the other side is going to be a good ball club. But I think it's possible. I think that Mississippi State's playing good baseball. And as I look at all the clubs in this College World Series, I think there are a lot of good ball clubs. But I think I don't see anybody that Mississippi State can't play with. So the ballpark somewhat lends itself to the kind of baseball Mississippi State plays, because we've not been a big power team outside of Renfroe. We've been basically a situational hitting team and a team that tries to get a starter five innings or so and use the bullpen to finish up a ball game. So if you can get those kind of factors, you have a chance. So it'll be interesting. I'm looking forward to it, but I think Friday will be big. I think if you could win Friday, that gives you a chance to be fairly fresh going into the three-game national championship series, and I think that would be a real plus for Mississippi State if they could do that.
Jim Ellis, voice of the Mississippi State Bulldogs, joins us here on Overtime. Jim, thanks so much for your time. I know everybody in the South is rooting for the SEC and rooting for Mississippi State to make that championship series, continue that streak, and maybe get it back from the Pac-12. Maybe you'll play UCLA and get it back from the Pac-12 since Arizona took it away from South Carolina last year. And another thing, a lot of UCA fans want Mississippi State to win three more games in a row so they can say, hey, we went toe-to-toe with the national champions this year, and we split the series.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be they were really a good little ball club, and we were impressed with them, and they were so competitive. But, yeah, it's going to be fun. We appreciate it. Good to be with you today.
All right, thanks, Jim. Appreciate it.